If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The first public hearing on the January 6th Capitol riot is airing tonight during primetime, and it's dividing sentiment in Congress.
It is the most political and least legitimate committee in American history.
It's a source of collective trauma, and the best way to move beyond January 6th is not amnesia, but accountability.
Plus, gas prices are close to $5 a gallon, where the pain's already being felt. And why flight attendants are getting dress code upgrades. It's Thursday, June 9th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The European Central Bank says it's increasing rates for the first time in more than a decade as the EU tries to tamp down rising inflation. The bank said it plans to lift rates a quarter percentage point in July. Until recently, ECB President Christine Lagarde had said interest rate hikes were unlikely at all this year. But earlier today, she outlined the bank's plans for the coming months.
Looking further ahead, we expect to raise the key ECB interest rates again in September. The calibration of this rate increase will depend on the updated medium-term inflation outlook. If the medium-term inflation outlook persists or deteriorates, a larger increment will be appropriate at our September meeting.
The bank also said it would end its large-scale bond buying program next month. The price of gas in the U.S. is nearing $5 a gallon. According to AAA, the price of regular gas averaged about $4.97 today, up more than a quarter from last week. Higher prices are rippling across industries, from food to retail to transportation. Global energy and climate editor Miguel Bustillo says there are early signs that the prices are starting to impact consumer behavior.
When prices rise, what energy experts and others look at is what's known as demand destruction. At what point do oil and gas prices rise enough and gasoline prices rise enough that you begin to see changes in consumer behavior? And in fact, there are some early signs that's starting to happen in the United States, that you're starting to see volumes of gasoline sales decrease week over week as prices go up. Interestingly, you see this more in gasoline than in diesel prices. And I think that's reflective of the fact that if you're a trucker, you can't cut, you know, your number of trips. You still got to deliver the goods, etc.
U.S. stocks fell sharply today ahead of the next report on inflation due tomorrow. The Dow dropped more than 600 points, or nearly 2%. The Nasdaq fell 2.8%, and the S&P 500 lost 2.4%. The inflation data will help determine the rate of the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes later this year. The arrest of an armed man outside the Maryland home of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh yesterday has renewed calls for more security ahead of some key controversial court decisions. The Senate passed legislation last month that would expand security protection of the justices to include their immediate family members. It came in the wake of protests following a leaked draft ruling that indicated the court could overturn Roe v. Wade, which established abortion rights. The court's ruling on that case is expected later this month. House Democrats had blocked an effort this week to pass that legislation by unanimous consent, arguing the measure should also protect high court staff. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi now says the House will take up the Senate bill next week. In Michigan, Republican candidate for governor Ryan Kelly has been arrested by federal agents in connection to his role in the January 6th Capitol riot. In a statement, the FBI said Kelly was captured outside the Capitol building in multiple videos on that day. Footage shows him over a two-hour period climbing scaffolding and waving at the crowd to climb the stairs of the Capitol. The charges against him include one count of entering or remaining on restricted grounds and engaging in physical violence on restricted grounds. Kelly had previously told a local publication that he was in D.C. on that day, but that he left the riot, quote, when things got crazy. Kelly was released on bond from a Michigan federal court today, according to court records. His lawyer said Kelly intends to continue his campaign. Kelly's arrest comes on the same day as the first of six televised public hearings on the riot. We'll have more on the mood on Capitol Hill and what to expect tonight later in the show. And U.S. auto regulators are escalating their investigation into Tesla's autopilot program after identifying six more crashes between the EVs and emergency response vehicles. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration also said it's expanding its probe to include accidents outside of emergency vehicles to assess how drivers interact with the autopilot system. The probe upgrade is a critical step the agency takes before determining whether to order a safety recall. Tesla did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Tesla has previously maintained that driving with its autopilot on is safer than without it and points to its internal data, but some researchers have criticized the methodology. Coming up, a divided Congress prepares for the first in a series of public hearings on the January 6th Capitol riot.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Congress is holding the first of a series of public hearings on the January 6th riot in the U.S. Capitol. Over the past 11 months, the House Select Committee has interviewed more than 1,000 witnesses. Tonight, they say they'll try to show what they've found out about the causes and consequences of this attack on the government. But lawmakers are still sharply divided over both the events of that day and the work of the committee. Wall Street Journal D.C. reporter Daniela Cheslow has been talking to lawmakers on both sides of the aisle this week and joins me now. Hi, Daniela. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
So, Daniela, many of the lawmakers who are going to be asking the questions and listening to the hearings were on the Hill during the attack on the Capitol. What is the mood ahead of tonight's hearing and what's changed for them?
Well, Anne-Marie, let's start with the sound. You're hearing now the sound of metal detectors outside the House chamber, and those are new, the sergeant-at-arms tells me, since the attack on the Capitol. January 6th changed security, but it also left a profound impact on lawmakers. I spoke to Richie Torres. He's a Democratic congressman from New York's 15th district.
It was my third day on the job. I was waiting in my office when all of a sudden the Capitol Police stormed inside and directed my staff and me to immediately evacuate. I had the same sense of fear and confusion on January 6th that I felt as a New Yorker on 9/11.
And Congressman Torres told me that a lot of his colleagues were traumatized by the event. And as we heard up top, he said the solution to that trauma was not amnesia, but accountability. Republicans are combative ahead of this panel. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy spoke to the press this morning, and he called the committee political, not legitimate. And he said it was a smokescreen for Democrats to push their agenda.
The committee investigating January 6th is made up of seven Democrats and two Republicans. What can you tell us about them?
Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin is on the panel. He also led the impeachment prosecution against former President Donald Trump right after the attack. And Raskin told me this week he aims to get at what happened that day and what caused the attack and also what laws might be needed to prevent an attack like that from happening again.
The essence of the investigation is to get the truth to the people. And that is our historic assignment.
The chairman of the committee is Benny Thompson, Democrat of Mississippi. It also includes Democrats from Virginia, California, and Florida. And the panel says it aims to weave together a narrative that shows what they call a coordinated, multi-step effort to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election, which was won by President Joe Biden. Republican Liz Cheney of Wyoming is vice chair of the committee. Her staff declined an interview, but she has said too many people in her party have pledged allegiance to Donald Trump instead of protecting the Constitution. She has said she believes that January 6th was a conspiracy, and this criticism has made her a pariah in her party. She was voted out of leadership, stepping down after she had been the number three Republican in the House. The other Republican on the panel is Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, who is retiring. He also declined an interview.
And Daniela, these were not the original Republican picks, Cheney and Kinzinger, for the committee, were they?
No, Republicans initially nominated Jim Banks of Indiana and Jim Jordan of Ohio to join the panel, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected them because they had voted to overturn Biden's election victory. And after that, Republicans pulled all five of their nominees to the committee. Elise Stefanik of New York replaced Liz Cheney as chair of the House Republican Conference, and here's how Stefanik described the panel yesterday.
This committee is not about seeking the truth. It is a smear campaign against President Donald Trump, against Republican members of Congress, and against Trump voters across this country.
She was speaking to reporters, and they asked her if she had any further concerns about Trump's actions on January 6th, and Stefanik said no. And while many in her party hold similar views, I got a different perspective from Republican Daniel Newhouse of Washington State. His wife was in his office on January 6th. He rushed off the floor to make sure she was safe, and Newhouse said he didn't support the formation of the committee, but he was curious about their findings.
I do think that they have been garnering a lot of testimony from a lot of different sources, and I think that'll be interesting and information that the country should hear.
So we can hear there a divide over this committee in the Republican Party.
So what can you tell us about what we can expect tonight?
Well, like my colleague Scott Patterson mentioned this morning, the committee has spoken to more than 1,000 witnesses. They've reviewed more than 100,000 documents. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said this morning that the panel will show that former President Trump was at the heart of a coordinated effort to overturn the election. But this panel has a stark challenge. They're trying to capture the public's attention when gas prices are skyrocketing and as Congress grapples with gun laws after the massacre in Uvalde, Texas. The panel says tonight's hearing will include recorded testimony as well as video and audio that might not have been made public before. And we can expect there to be a level of finesse because the former president of ABC News has joined the committee as an advisor. Tonight's hearing is the first of six, so it will likely set the tone for the coming hearings that will take place over the rest of June.
Daniela, as you spoke to lawmakers this week, did you hear how they're imagining this will play out during the midterms?
Well, that question is especially relevant for the members of the Select Committee. We're in the middle of primary season, which means for Republican Liz Cheney, a tough battle to keep her seat in Wyoming ahead of a vote in August. Her Republican opponent has gotten endorsed by Trump, although that endorsement has had mixed results in other races in the country. There's also Democrat Elaine Luria of Virginia. She represents a swing district that she flipped in 2018. Today, it's a top Republican target, and after redistricting, her constituents lean more GOP. Republicans say Democrats are using January 6th to ignore more burning issues of the day. Democrats say there needs to be accountability for the government to function.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Daniela Cheslow. Daniela, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
And finally, high heels and skirts, suits and ties used to be the dress code for flight attendants. And there were other restrictions on their appearance. But that's changing. Last week, Virgin Atlantic Airways announced it will allow crew members to show their tattoos while on duty. Other airlines are letting staff wear sneakers and t-shirts instead of formal wear. So why the shift? Our reporter Katie Dayton says some of the changes are practical.
I think that's really important as well, because these people in the air, if there is an emergency, they need to move quickly, and I think there is a case to be made for if, you know, what you're wearing is more flexible and comfier, and you've got sneakers on rather than high heels, you can probably respond to an emergency a little bit quicker than you would have done had you been wearing stilettos or something.
But she says airlines are also struggling to recruit and retain workers.
These companies have a really tight pool of people to hire from in the first place. So, you know, you have to be above a certain height, you have to be below a certain height, you have to be able to swim, you have to be able to deal with, whatever stressful things happen in the air. And then, you know, to have this ban on tattoos as well, that kind of narrows the pool down. So a lot of these companies, I think, are looking at what they've got to do to expand that pool, and allowing for tattoos on display is one of those things that they can do.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.